Blog Talk Radio.
WPR Rebuttal is on the air. I'm your host, Senator JPO, bringing you all the news that the Board of Regents-owned WPR does not want you to hear. And today we have a very special guest, Mr. Joe Oler, the write-in candidate for Sauk County District 4. He's running for the Board of Supervisors, and we're going to interview him about why he's running, why he's conducting a write-in campaign as opposed to being on a ballot straight away, and what we can expect when he gets on the board. So without any further ado, Mr. Joe Oler. Hey, how are you doing, Senator JPO? Hey, I'm doing all right. How about you? Very good. So you have some questions for me? Yes, Mr. Oler. Okay, so our first question is, what inspired you to run a write-in campaign? Well, first of all, I was just sitting at home one Saturday. It was actually March 3rd, to be precise, and someone knocked on my door, okay? And it looked like the town clerk, but it was actually someone who called herself Pat Rigo. And first thing she did is read off a list of names. And like half the people on that list were not residents of where I lived. So I asked her, hey, I mean, what are you doing? Why are you asking who lives here? And then she finally introduced herself as a candidate for Sauk County Board of Supervisors. And it's one of those things where it gave me immediate concern because, number one, on the voter registration list, you had people who either never lived there, because my grandpa was on that list, but he has never lived in this house where I live. He lives across the state in a nursing home, and he's never been at this address. And the other guy who was on the list but not a resident had moved away about 10 years prior. So obviously the information on voter registration list is outdated, and that there's just a wide margin of error where someone can fake a photo ID, go to the polls, and just say, hey, I'm Rick Kimball or whoever, and I mean, how is the poll attendant going to know what Rick Kimball looks like? Because there are a lot of people who just come here for a summer maybe, but they are residents close enough to the election. And so, I mean, obviously some are residents, but they come back here for like late October and early November, and they're here for like 2 weeks prior they can vote. I know that's part of the state law. Wow, that's very interesting, Mr. Oler. So voter registration concerns, and I mean, what else? I mean, why run against this Pat Rigo guy? Well, actually, Pat Rigo is a woman. I mean, I guess according to the clerk, when I was in the Sauk County Clerk's office in Baraboo, on the nomination form, it actually said Patricia Rigo. Patricia is a real first name, but on the ballot, it's going to say Pat Rigo because you can put an alias if you want, like me. I mean, I'm Joseph Oler Jr., but on the ballot, I'm having the alias Joe Oler will be accepted as a write-in. And anyone who's in Sauk County, you want to write me in. My name is spelled Joeohler. And the clerk, upon seeing that, will count that as a vote for me, even though my legal name is Joseph Oler Jr. So you don't have to worry about the suffix or anything. And that's pretty cool because in the clerk's own words, if we can figure out the intent, then we'll tally it towards the candidate. So that's quite awesome. So, Mr. Oler, I mean, what sets you apart from Pat Rigo? Well, definitely I know more about how county government should run. And I know how it does run, and it's not supposed to be a means of circumventing or defeating the local control of the municipalities. The county government is there to fill in for the road and the emergency services that the municipalities on their own cannot provide. And the county government also exists to be an access point for the state services like the Aging and Disability Resource Center and Social Security offices are also in the county seat, and that's more or less the extent of it. Now, what I've seen by going to the town board meetings is sometimes people who are not necessarily year-round members of the community, but they have like a summer home up here, they will be dissatisfied with the municipal ordinance on this or that. Like, let's say boat houses, right? I mean, there are size restrictions on boat houses to prevent erosion and to prevent any blocking of the view of the lakefront. So the idea is, number one, to allow enough adequate drainage and vegetation so that you don't have as much sediment runoff. And number two, to keep a sufficient berth so that you can see around the boathouses and enjoy the lake. So they want to keep it scenic. Now, nonetheless, some people want to build sheds on hills that are too steep per the ordinance, and some people want to build boathouses that are too large, like taller than two stories. So they want a three-story boathouse for conspicuous consumption, let's say, right? A grandiose building. But they're in violation of the ordinance. Now, every week they're in violation of ordinance, they're fined. So what they do is they calculate, well, okay, if we want to keep it this way, then we're going to have to permanently pay a fine for each and every week. So what they do is they want to go to the county and they try to appeal. Now, my position is they should have the foresight to go and, if not read the statutes themselves or the ordinances, they should at least talk with the town clerk, because every municipality is well-versed in those regulations. And they should therefore know in advance, and in consultation with the construction company who's actually building that structure, okay, both the owner of the land and the contractor building that structure should already know before any work is done whether the ordinance allows that type of structure in those dimensions with that type of footprint. Wow, that sounds very complicated, Mr. Oler. Well, you know, that's why I'm running for county government, because when you ask Pat Rego this stuff, he's like, well, I'll need to learn. And you know what that means? It means he doesn't know. And that's what I will need to learn, that is just a euphemism for I don't know. And if you ask Pat Rego anything about how county government works, that's what she'll say. Whereas I know that stuff already, and I can get in there and contribute right off the bat. And furthermore, let's talk about values. Now, when I asked Pat Rego on two separate occasions, okay, March 3rd, when she came to my house, canvassing unsolicited, and on March 12th, after a town hall board meeting, and there's actually a YouTube video where I put up, okay, my confrontation with Patricia Rego after that town hall meeting, and I ask her all these questions, and you can hear her equivocate and not give any straight answers, okay? Like, the biggest thing is, what are her real values? She's talking over and over and over again about having open lines of communication, but guess what? Any candidate can do that. So what sets her apart? Nothing, because she hides and obscures and refuses to divulge the special interest groups in Madison that she's been involved with. And in her own words, she is held leadership roles in these mysterious, unnamed organizations for 5 or 6 years. And I asked her, well, why don't you name some of these organizations? And then she said, well, there are too many to name. And I just told her, well, it sounds to me like you're worried voters would be concerned about the values held by some of these organizations. And, of course, she just refused to admit any involvement in any particular organization because she knows that voters would object if she were to come clean about her involvement in those organizations. If she were to actually specify what organizations in which she had been involved, then the voters would turn against her. And I decided go as a write-in because Pat Rego was not on my radar until she showed up at my door and knocking and interrupting my unemployment insurance claim. And I told her at that time that I had to cut her conversation short because I had to continue the claim before her timed me out because it was a Saturday. On Saturday, you have a very small window by which to file your claim because the system is online from 9 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. At 2:30, it times out and it locks you out, and that's the end. You can't go at 10 at night or anything on Saturday and do it because you just have to do it before they shut down the system. So I told Pat Rego, hey, we will meet again and we'll continue this conversation. And meet again we did. After March 12th, town hall meeting, right in Laval. And by golly, I really took it to her. And once again, she had no satisfactory answers. She equivocated again and refused to discuss her prior involvement in the very same organizations that she's trying to use as a selling point. Okay, so someone held leadership roles. Wouldn't it be nice to know which organizations in which they held these leadership roles, huh? I agree, Mr. Oler. In fact, that brings me to the next question. Okay, so when you get on the Stahl County Board of Supervisors, what can the voters expect? Well, Senator JPO and all the wonderful voters out there, I have to tell you, I will be contributing from day one because I know the proper role of the county government. That is to respect local autonomy, and that is to ensure that we have cost-effective services. And you know, one of the reporters from the Baraboo News Republic, a great reporter, Tim Damos, and he asked me some great questions, and I had an answer for each and every one of them, and they're going to do another story because they already did one story about my allegations against Pat Rego being dishonest about her values and hiding her involvement in some of these subversive mass and special interest groups. But there's another article forthcoming that will have my responses to his questions. But one of the things that's been going on is, does the county board want to create a TIF district to have another hospital or a healthcare center or a clinic? There are a few different options on the board. And I told them that, hey, the free market is not supporting it. It's not profitable on its own. You cannot expect a TIF district to make it profitable because there are many, many examples, especially in downtown commercial districts, where creating a tax and rental finance or TIF district has been a big money loser. And you don't want to go into that type of business because you will just end up paying more than you intend. And that is generally true about 90% of the time. So I would rather not gamble the taxpayers' money on that project. Wow, very insightful, Mr. Oler. And I've heard that you have said voters are the best hiring managers. Why is that? Well, it's true, because voters, unlike the hiring managers, the voters will tell you what they like and what they dislike. Have you ever tried getting feedback from a hiring manager after you weren't offered a job? Well, if you have, then chances are the farthest you ever got, if any response at all, is, well, we just thought someone else was better. But it won't say why. Now, voters, they will tell you why they prefer one candidate or the other. They will tell you why you are the better candidate, and I've laid out my platform with this in mind because I am well equipped with the information from conversations with constituents, and their values are comparable to mine, and my goals are similar to theirs, and that is we don't want to be wasting any taxpayer money on these stupid TIF districts, and we don't want any Madison subversive special interest groups interfering in our government. We won't have any of this Gramscian type infiltration going on in Stahl County. No siree. And that's why it pays to write in Joe Oler for Stahl County Board of Supervisors District 4. Thank you very much. Mr. Oler, it's been a pleasure having you. There's been a wonderful discussion on air. Joe Oler, running a highly successful Ryan campaign against Pat Rego. And as this Tuesday, April 3rd, ask your town clerk for a local polling station. And till next time, I'm Senator JPO, signing off.